Hey, welcome back to Jason Harris Podcast. Now, today I'm going to follow up a little bit on my last podcast just to remind people what I was chatting about and then go into some things you need to remember with that dog when it comes to training. Now, last time I was talking about the era of the COVID dog. What I mean by that is there's a lot of dogs that aren't getting socialized and getting brought up as they should be brought up, not always because of the owner's fault, but because of the restrictions we have on us now. So that's leading to these dogs becoming very nervous and anxious and antisocial because they're just not getting out there. I've seen quite a few dogs lately. I've been training a few in homes, and this behaviour is starting to come out as these dogs get older. And I'm very concerned that when we get back to normal, we're going to see an incidence of dogs maybe biting, or dogs being very scared, but not biting through aggression, but biting through just lack of socialising, fear. I'm seeing it in these dogs. I've never seen so many dogs that haven't been socialised, and it stands out. So we need to make the effort as much as you can. I talked about last podcast to socialise your dogs. When you walk, have them come across people, meet people, have people feed your dog. Whatever you can do, you must do this, because if you don't, and if you miss this window when your dog, especially if it's young and it's been imprinted, if you miss this window, it can be hard to fix. It can become very chronic and make the life of the dog miserable and you as an owner stressful, because it's just a battle and it's hard to get through. So remind you things you can do at home. When you are at home, having your dog not always with you, having at times where it's away from you, practicing your obedience, doing hidden stays, going for walks, small walks at the start, leaving your dog at home, make them bigger walks, all these sort of things. Don't push it too fast and hard. You want to go slow with these steps and make the dog comfortable and realize an extra minute here, an extra minute here is okay, and you will be coming back. If you want to listen to my last podcast where I gave some tips about that, please go back to that, and that reminds you of what you can do to try and counteract these things and be proactive about it before it happens. So this is really important. Please do this, guys. Please, and girls, obviously when I say guys, I mean everybody. Please do this. It is vital. It is vital. I'm seeing this behavior a lot. I'm sure a lot of other dog trainers are as well. So it's really important that we get ahead of this and don't let it become a problem that you can't fix. Don't leave it too late. Now, I want to talk to you today about basically some tips that I go by and I give people after I train their dogs, things to remember. So I have a little cheat sheet here. For those who are on video, you can see me. I'm looking down at it. I know them all, but I want to make sure I say them all because these things really can help. So first thing is making sure we train our dog every day in some way. Now, that can be making your dog sit before it eats, making your dog walk by your side, making it sit before it goes through a doorway, all these little things. What these do, they are fun for the dog to do. Don't think the dog doesn't enjoy it. The dog likes leadership, it likes obedience, enjoys working. But more than anything, it reminds your dog who really is in control in your pack. And these are little things, but they make big differences. So every day in some way, train your dog. It doesn't have to be an hour-long session. It can be 10 minutes, 10 positive, happy minutes with your dog. End on a game. Make your dog think obedience is fun, and its last memory of obedience is a good time, nothing negative. So train your dog every day in some way. The next thing is one command must equal one response from your dog. I'm always saying to the owners, don't give a command you can't enforce. In other words, especially when your dog's a beginner, it's doing basics. Don't say sit from your dog 10 meters away and then your dog doesn't sit and it gets away with it and you've done all this practice and it goes backwards. From on lead to off lead is a big step. So you need to make sure you are very, very, very proficient on lead and progress to off lead. Don't think after one session your dog's trained and you can just yell out sit and drop and all this and it's going to do it for you. You need to progress to that. So one command must equal one response. If you are going to sit and say sit and your dog doesn't do it, you must walk to your dog and make your dog sit. If you're going to say come and your dog doesn't come, you must walk to your dog. If it takes you 5 minutes to catch it, you need to catch it and bring your dog to you. You must enforce the command that you give your dog. Now, another one is not putting human qualities into animals. I know we love our dogs. I know they're your pets and you want to treat them and spoil them. But the problem is this can go too far and you can put human qualities into your animal, being anthropomorphic. And which basically what I'm saying is we like please and thank you and would you mind, and we get offended and all these things. You need to understand dogs don't operate this way. They really don't. You think they do, but they don't. They're very simple animals. They understand authority. They respect authority and they need leadership. They don't need you to make them soft. If you are going to let your dog sleep on the bed, that is fine. That is your dog. But then if you get problems out of that, Don't expect them to go away until you fix this problem. If you're saying your dog's equal and it sleeps up here with you, and then you have aggression problems or just your dog not listening, a lot of this stems from this behavior. You need to get your dog off the bed. I know you don't want to do that, but you need to think about it, because that is creating that problem. If you get rid of the problem and you want to try to get up into the bed and it stays away, good. So I'm not saying you can't put your dog on the bed. I'm saying if you're having issues with your dog listening and it's just being disobedient because you're not doing the training, you're allowing it to sleep places. When I say the word disobedient, a lot of this is created by us as humans. The dogs will take opportunities. They're instinctive, opportunistic predators. If you give them opportunities to not listen, disobey and do what it wants, it's just being a dog. It's not a bad dog. You are the one that's creating these issues. So you need to remember, you've got to operate on their terms. Be on their terms. Otherwise, you are going to ruin your dog. You are going to be too soft. And you're going to wonder why you have all these problems. Next one is voice inflection. When you're teaching your dog, I always use this analogy. I explain to every person I train at home. Always think of that boring school teacher you had. The one that went, okay, today we're going to learn about whatever the subject is, and you're like falling asleep. And then I remember I had a science teacher that was very, very animated and interesting in science, and he made the topic interesting because of how he spoke. His voice inflection was up and down. This is how you need to be with your dog. If you're going to tell your dog to, I've done this before in videos, let's use the example of dog's name, come, sit, stay, free. I've done this before, but we want to hear. Max always comes to mind for some reason, but we want to use Max, come, sit, stay. Good boy, free. And you can hear that tone up and down. You cannot be too embarrassed to do that. So don't forget voice inflection. I mentioned about the dogs being instinctive, opportunistic predators, and this is why they act the way they do, because that's all they are. That's all they are. So if they take advantage of something and they are instinctive, which is run away, dig a hole, jump or something, you need to be able to deal with that appropriately and have the skills to be able to deal with that. Next one is aim to increase your dog's skills all the time. So if it's doing a sit-stay at 1 meter and it does it easy and it literally falls asleep, increase it. Work on that approximation training. Have a goal of 10 meters and go by meter, by meter, by meter, by meter, and keep it. The dogs enjoy this, especially if you have that real working breed, the German Shepherd or whatever breed you want to use that enjoys it, Border Collies. They want stimulation. They need it. If you don't do this, this is why you'll get a lot of problems with your dog, with digging and jumping and different behavior that you don't want, because it's bored, it's not being used, it needs to be productive, it needs to work and do its thing. So understand that dogs enjoy obedience, so please do this with them. Try and increase their skills. Do your stay and then do a hidden stay. Go behind things and then do a longer stay and then do a stay with distractions and then do a stay at the beach and a stay at the park. You must train them in different environments. That is another one I've got here, different environments. They may listen in your backyard. You'll see the typical, there's plenty of dog trainers on YouTube that have amazing dogs in their lounge room. I'm not saying they're not good dogs outside, but I guarantee you a lot of them don't perform the same. In a lounge room is very different. No distractions, no other dogs, no birds, no water, no nothing. That is easy. I don't believe that is showing your true skills as a dog trainer. That is not even a challenge. I want to see you train your dogs at the park, at the beach, downtown, wherever it is. Practice obedience everywhere. Don't be shy to do this. You're out walking downtown, put your dog on a sit stay, have people walk by, walk by, walk by. Practice to stay there. This is how they would train the guide dogs for the Blind Society, the dogs. They train them the same way. They would take them all different places, the Guide Dog Association, sorry. They go all different places, everywhere they can think of, and train these dogs with different distractions, different noises and sounds and animals. You must do this. So you must be doing the same thing. Train your dog in different places all the time. The next one, keep your training sessions short and fun, and try and always end on a positive note. Even if you're doing sit stay and it fails and you just can't get there, either take distance off, go back further, or change the exercise and end successfully. I would rather you try and end on the one you were doing successfully and not give up, but sometimes you need to move on. The dog is either gone for too long and it just can't handle it, so you're best to move to a simpler exercise and then end on successful. End with a game, end with a tug of war, so the dog's last memory of playing that, doing the obedience, is having a good time. This is very, very important. Like I said, train your dog in a variety of surroundings, homes and parks, all of this one. So to go over that again, one more here I've got written down. Praise and reprimand your dog at the exact time of the desired behavior or the non-desired behavior. This is vital. It's like the old one of a dog digs a hole. And an hour later you come home, the dog's not digging. You see the hole, and then your body language changes and you get tense, and the dogs are very, very perceptive to body language. So you think the dog knows it's in trouble because it dug the hole, but it's not. It's generally just going off your body language. The way to test that would be come home one day without a hole on the ground and have the same body language as if you would with this hole. The dog will probably respond the same. It's not sitting there going, remembering from an hour ago. It's responding to your body language. Point of the story is you then go and reprimand the dog like people do, and you think the dog remembers it's in trouble for digging a hole an hour ago. It's not likely the case at all. You need to catch the dog doing this undesirable behaviour. And if you don't catch it, it's very hard to reprimand the dog. You really can't. You can't take the dog to a hole and tell it off. I don't believe in that at all. Some people may disagree, but I'm not a believer in it. You need to catch the dog doing the behaviour. So the way to do that is recreate scenarios. That could be another one, actually not written down here because there's so many I use in training. So I'm just giving you some tips today. But that can be another one for training your dog. Recreate scenarios. Let's say you have a problem with your dog barking. We have a neighbour, actually, with the dog barks. Everyone goes past. So the way I would deal with that problem is I would recreate the scenario, but I'd be ready to reprimand the dog. You hide behind the wall, you have someone walk past, the dog barks, you jump out of nowhere, you scare the dog with just a reprimand, just your voice, leave or quiet, whatever word you use, you do it again, you do it again. I'll guarantee you done right, second, third time maybe fourth, the dog won't do it because it thinks, where are you coming from? And they're smart, but they're not that smart. They're probably not going to ever think that you're not behind the wall. And if they do slip, you just go back and recreate the scenario. That reminds me a lot. I've said to you about never give a command you can't enforce. If you're in the lounge room, sitting down, and your dog barks, and you say quiet or leave, and it barks once past that, you need to get up, turn your favorite show off, whatever it is, and you need to walk to that dog and reprimand the dog for the barking. But if you don't do that, on the first night you go leave, and the dog barks again, and it goes, they're not getting up tonight. It'll get worse, it'll get worse. You have to enforce a command and a reprimand. If the dog stops barking, you don't walk 50 metres when it's not barking to it and get to it and scold it and tell it off. It doesn't understand. If it's still barking when you get to it, you can reprimand it verbally. But if it's stopped and then you get to the dog, it doesn't connect. So it's got to be very close to it, within, you know, meters away. So it's barking, it sees you coming and reprimanding, then it will understand and connect. But if it's barking and you can't see it, you yell, leave it, and it's quiet, then you go to it and tell it off, it's very confusing. You've got to keep it very black and white to your dog. So hopefully these tips help you out. There is a lot more in dog training, but these are some, I would say, some of the most important ones. I missed one here. Be firm but fair. Remember that your dogs don't take it personal. I spoke a little bit about this, but they need leadership. So they aren't going to sit there and be upset with you telling them to do something. You need to be that leader. So be firm, but be fair. In other words, you don't reprimand your dog for not over necessary, over nothing, and or over reprimand them for like telling them off, and then you keep scolding them and you told them to sit and they eventually sit, and then you'd speak big sentences to them and go on about these things. Don't go over the top. Just do enough. The dog doesn't sit, you go sit. It doesn't do it, you make the dog do it with the classical conditioning. If it doesn't do it, sit, make it do it. But don't go over the top when you reprimand the dog, especially for the barking. Once it's stopped, anything past one reprimand is more to make probably you feel good than anything. So don't go over the top when you reprimand your dog. Do enough to get the desired behaviour, which is to stop barking, to not jump, to whatever you want it to do, and then stop. Enough is enough, okay? Don't go overboard. So anyway, remember some of these rules. Sorry, I forgot those, and I had to go back and forth. Like I said, there's a bit written down here, but I've covered them all. If anyone has any questions about any other training or anything you want to know, let me know. But these are some good ones to remember. If anyone would like a copy of these little what I would call a cheat sheet or training tips or things to remember, please feel free to message me, give me your email address, and I'll send you some of the things I go by with dog training, things to remember that I believe will create a lot better dog. But reminder, don't forget my COVID era podcast that I did about COVID and COVID dogs and what we're getting from COVID because of the lack of socializing. Go back and have a listen to that one. I'd appreciate it. Guys, please, if you enjoy this podcast, whether you're listening or watching on the audio or the video here, a subscribe, a share, a like is very, very appreciated. It means a lot if you could just do that for me. Hit that little like button and turn the bell icon on, so when I do a video, you get a reminder of a new video, and give me a subscribe and tell others about it. It is appreciated. Hope you enjoyed this little drop of knowledge and you got something out of it. Thanks, guys. Bye.